Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Candid Life Lesson Podcast. I'm joined by my wife, Esther, and in today's episode, we are going to talk about a very important topic, communication. Before we get started, please make sure you share the podcast with family and friends. Subscribe so you can get notified when a new episode comes out. Appreciate the love and support. All right, let's go ahead and get started. Well, love, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just fabulous. How about you?
Doing great. It's our first episode on the Candid Life Lesson Podcast. So I think this is a long time coming. I've been wanting a podcast for a very long time, probably for about 2 years now. So I'm just excited that we're finally at a point where we can share our journey and our experience and really get into some really good topics. I mean, I wanted to start the episode about communication because it's, you know, it's essential in everything that we do,
right?
Not just in a relationship, but in your everyday to day life. But this topic alone will probably transition into pretty much every other episode that we have. So what I want to talk about today, instead of going into what we do well, I think we need to go all the way back to the beginning.
Eef.
On what we didn't do.
Yikes.
In the beginning, we've been together for 17 years. Mm-hmm. We've been married for 15. Mm-hmm. We got 3 kids. I was 20 mm-hmm. when we had Dominic. You were 18 at the time. So we were babies having babies.
Babies having babies.
Yeah. And so what we did not do very well in the first, you know, few years of our marriage was communication. That was probably the biggest opportunity that we had. Thankfully, we loved each other enough that we didn't kill each other. But yeah, I think we didn't really have a really good, strong communication early on in our marriage.
Yeah, I feel like it was pretty much non-existent.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
So just to give it a little context, let me just kind of give you an example or just kind of share the story, right? I was 20, 21 years old at the time. We were had an apartment. I was working 2 jobs. So I was working from 3 o'clock in the morning. I would get off that job about 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. I'd go to my next job about 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, and I wouldn't get off until 7 o'clock. So I was essentially going from like 3 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock at night every day.
Yeah.
While I did that, what were you doing?
Just at home, chilling with our newborn baby, just me and him, my little buddy.
Yeah.
That was all the interaction I had throughout the day for weeks.
Yeah, and so when I tell you my hours, right? I mean, 3 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock at night. By the time I get home, I'm exhausted mentally and physically. You've been with the baby all day long by yourself. And mind you, again, 18, 19 years old, mm-hmm. having a baby, mm-hmm. trying to figure life out as we go.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't really have a lot of time for communication.
There was literally no time. Like, you just set out your schedule right now, and there was no time for communication because you were always working, you know?
And I was working, you know, sometimes, most of the time it was 6 days a week, but there were times where I was working 7 days a week. And so, you know, I was just exhausted all the time.
Yeah.
And so in the beginning, there was just no communication. And I hate that it sounds like we didn't talk at all. I mean, we definitely did. There were moments where we talked.
Yeah, we
did.
You know, we had good times. We talked. You know, we conversed with each other. But when it came to things that mattered, that things that we felt, you know, feeling the way we did because you were working so much and I was home, you know, we didn't talk about that kind of stuff and how it made us feel. You know, yes, we saw each other on a day-to-day basis. You know, hi, we love you. How was your day? And it kind of just stayed at the surface. We didn't really dig deep on how we were both feeling, how you working that much affected you, and how you being away from me and Dominic for so long, you know, I didn't express how that made me feel. So there was a lot of stuff underneath the surface that wasn't ever addressed at the time, for sure.
Yeah. On like you said, on both sides. And I think it caused a lot of opportunities, I think, early on in our marriage where, again, because we didn't communicate, when I was tired, exhausted, there's times where I remember I'd come home and the first thing you would want to do is give me the baby. And in my mind, I'm like, I've been working all day long and you're throwing this baby at me.
Yeah.
And I never looked at it from your point of view, as you've been with this baby all day long. Like, you've been working all day. You need a break. And so here's the baby. So but again, we never talked through any of that piece. So I think it created a lot of frustration super early on in our marriage.
Absolutely. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I get to talk to somebody who is not babbling and drooling all over me. I get to talk to an adult. And, you know, you were tired, you know? That wasn't going to happen.
So how did it make you feel?
How it made me feel? Well,
reflecting back on it.
Yeah, definitely. Reflecting back on it definitely made me feel sad and alone, more alone than anything. And I didn't feel appreciated. But the biggest thing I felt was I just felt alone.
Yeah, and I think for me, a lot of it was, I never felt like it was good enough. Like, something always happened, me working, you know, however many hours I was working in a week, like, it was never good enough, right? There was always something that would be said, that there'd be, like, some undertone behind, you know, a certain, you know, statement that you would make. I didn't feel appreciated as well, right? Because I feel like I'm working all the time. Like, how does she not see, you know, the hours and the time and the effort that I'm putting into everything? And then I was mentally drained a lot.
Yeah, of course.
Not, you know, again, yes, the job, you know, put a lot of mental strain, but also, I think, you know, again, us not communicating and me expressing how I felt or the things that I was feeling at the time, like, I just felt drained all the time.
I mean, not only mentally. You were 20 years old, you had a new wife, a new baby, you know, you grew up, we both grew up very, very quickly, but we didn't get the communication down. Yeah. You know, that was tough. That was really tough on both of our ends. You know, I remember feeling like, I just wanted to talk to you. I just wanted to be with you. And I remember talking to you sometimes on the sofa, and your head is literally falling forward and you're falling asleep. And I'm thinking, am I that boring? Yeah. Am I that, like, is my company so bad? But I didn't look at it from your point of view and how tired you were. And then even when I would just give the baby to you, I didn't think about, okay, this man's been up since 3 o'clock in the morning and he just got home and it's 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night. And, you know, obviously I'm tired, but I didn't look at it from your point of view either. Both, you know, it's not like your job is more important than mine. It was just, we just didn't understand each other's point of view because we didn't talk.
Yeah. And there were, I think what you're mentioning is there was a lot of signs that we didn't pay attention to.
No, at all.
There were times where you would have dinner ready for me. You've even told me, you know, after the fact, right? And probably sometimes during. But there were times where you would have dinner ready for me when I would get home, but I would be so tired and exhausted that I just wanted to take a shower and just chill and really not eat anything. I was just so tired.
And I would wait to eat with you. I wouldn't eat. I would wait to eat with you. And you would just say, nah, I'm not hungry. I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'll eat by myself then.
Yeah, so that was tough. You know, what do you think some of your reactions were during that time period?
I kept a lot of things to myself. I was silent, angry but silent. I had attitude for sure. Definitely rolling my eyes and doing like, whatever, fine.
You're really good at that. Or you used to be.
I'm pretty sure I'm still good at it.
Yeah, you are.
Definitely rolling my eye. It was just more of the just frustration. So that came out definitely in a hostile kind of way, and I'm pretty sure that didn't feel good to you.
Yeah, and for me, I was really like short fused. Yeah. I felt like I got angry really quickly. Like, just the littlest thing sometimes would just set me off, and I'm not like a yell and shout type of angry.
No, you just.
But I shut down.
Yeah, and I hated it too, because back then I was a humongous crier because I was so angry all the time. I was mad. I felt really mad. So even if the slightest little tear came out, it's like, oh God, she's crying again. And that, I know that, like, shut you down, because it just meant another fight or another argument was coming. And it was just something that we both just didn't want to deal with, because I was tired, you were tired, but we didn't understand why both of us were tired. We only knew one side of it. We didn't really talk about it.
Yeah, and I think I was silent a lot of the time because I was afraid of there being another argument.
Yeah.
Because we didn't get a lot of time together. And no. The time that we were together, I didn't want to spend it arguing or disagreeing about whatever, you know, the situation. Like, do the dishes, take out the trash, or, you know, just sometimes little things like that that would just set me off because of the way it was presented to me, or vice versa. I would say something to you, not paying attention to how I said it, but I would, you know, just come out the way it would come out.
You still get in trouble doing that.
Yeah. Just tired and exhausted and, you know, just not thinking clearly.
Yeah.
And then I think I kind of like self-medicated a lot with video games.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously I played a lot of video games growing up, but, you know, because I was so mentally drained all the time and even physically drained, I felt like video games was a great way for me to kind of escape from thinking too much and just kind of mindless task of just playing a game. But obviously having a newborn, having a wife who doesn't get a chance to speak to anybody, right? There's attention that I need to give elsewhere too. But yeah, I think I did a lot of that early on.
Yeah, for sure.
And it definitely caused a lot of conflict, I think, too, playing the video games. Because I would get the side eye, you're going to sleep, and you're like, you're going to stay up playing games? I'm like, yep.
Oh, yeah. Zero F's given. I remember. And I would be so angry. And sometimes I just wanted to touch the little red button just to turn it off. Just to start again.
That might have happened.
Probably. Maybe. But yeah, I just remember feeling like, again, like you falling asleep. You am I that boring? And then when you play video games, it's like, am I that horrible company that you just have to escape playing video games? And I felt like it was me, but again, I didn't think, you know, he wanted to just chill. But at the same time, I'm in my head like, I want to chill. Like, I want, like, this baby's crying. I'm frustrated. I'm tired, and I'm, you know, I was feeling a certain type of way, and
yeah.
And obviously having a baby, my body was going through things that I didn't know anything about. Like, I was so new to everything. You know, we went in with blinders and thinking like everything's just going to work out. You know, we're young, it should work out. You know, we didn't know what the hell we were doing.
And the one thing I want to bring up though is that I know when we're talking through it right now, it sounds like we had a horrible marriage during that time period.
Yeah.
And I think we could probably say it wasn't the best now, but at the time, I don't think we really realized what we were going through.
No, I think when we were going through it at the time, we just felt like it was just something that we did. It was just something you work through, you know? We never second-guessed if we wanted to be with each other. We didn't think, like, well, just leave or, you know, go find somebody else. Like, it was maybe sometimes that was thrown a little bit. But we knew in the end, I wanted to be with you. You wanted to be with me. We had a family. We were united in that sense. So I know there was never a thought where that wouldn't work. We just needed to figure it out at the time, but we didn't know what to do.
So what do you think changed?
I think we were just tired. Tired of just living the way we were. We were just coasting it. Nothing was really improving. We weren't growing as husband and wife. We weren't growing as parents. We weren't growing the way you should. So I think you surprised me on that date that we went to. And it was amazing. It was the best date I can ever remember that we've ever had. We've had plenty of great dates, but that was definitely a turning point.
I think that was the win. When it changed, when it happened, was when we went to our favorite place, which is the Melting Pot. And I had seen this restaurant on the TV. It was at the Food Network. And I was watching them kind of do this whole episode about the Melting Pot. I'd never even heard of it before.
Not sponsored, by the way.
Yeah, no. But if Melting Pot wants to sponsor us, that's fine. I'll take some free food.
For sure.
But I was watching it on TV, and I was like, man, that place looks really cool. And I just like, hey, you know what? Let's just do a date night. I didn't tell you where we were going.
No, you didn't.
I didn't even know what to expect. We were so underdressed when we showed up.
We were.
Yeah. And I, not that I dress, you know, great now, but, you know, back then I'm like t-shirt and basketball shorts and, you know, shoes that are not tied. And
you were a mess.
Yeah, I was a mess. And I still am most of the time. But that, yeah, that was the win. That was the moment that it changed.
Yeah. I remember that night. We laid everything on the table that night. everything, the way we felt, you know, even if it made us feel bad, but it was real. What we talked about was real and true. And in the end, I felt so accomplished because I felt like you said that was the turning point.
But the melting pot, the atmosphere, I think, helped.
That's it too. Well, yeah, because there's no distractions. You're secluded in your little bubble.
Well, before we kind of go into that, right? So just to give people who haven't been to the melting pot a little background, right? You're sitting at a table. There's like a little stove that's on your table, and you basically cook your own food. So the whole experience can probably take you about three to four hours.
If you do all the courses, which we did. So it took us about 3 to 4 hours. So that's 3 and 4 hours of us just communicating. That was something that we'd never really done for that long. We'd never really talked that long about us and about the way we felt and what we want and what we want for the future. So I think that was amazing.
Yeah, that was the first time we started talking about, okay, we got to start growing. We got to start changing the way things are. And every year since then, we have one like important date night. All the date nights, of course, are important, but we have at least one date night dedicated to what didn't work this past year and what are we going to work on. Like, I give you some of the things that I want to work on going into next year. You tell me what you want to work on and then what we want to work on together. And then we go from there every year. And I think that's been a huge turning point in our relationship.
Yeah. We actually need to do them this year. We haven't done one this year.
Yeah, COVID kind of put a little hiccup in that piece.
For sure. I mean, there's ways we can do a date, but I don't know, just us getting away, you know, the atmosphere of a restaurant, you know, just getting away, that just makes, it's just different. But we definitely need to do one.
Yeah, for sure. You know what I think a lot of our problem was in the beginning is that sometimes people don't realize that they're a product of their own environment.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
And it took time to break each other's walls down so we could both open up. You know, again, I had my challenges of, you know, again, I didn't always express myself, I think, the way I needed to be able to communicate. Like, I always wanted to talk and talk things through all the time, but I was so pushy with it in the beginning that it would shut you down. And you were opposite. You didn't want to talk about any of the problems. You just wanted to let it go, sweep it under the rug, and let's move on.
Yeah, sweep it under the rug and stamp on that rug till it's flat, because I did not want to talk about it. And like you said, you just wanted to talk so much. And I'm like, guy, just leave me alone so I can just process what I'm feeling right now so I can shove that down and I don't have to feel it anymore. That was my process. But you wanted to talk about it so much, and it would just make me so angry. And then me not talking made you so angry. So that got us nowhere.
Yeah. It backfired a lot of the times.
All the time. And, you know, like you said, we're a product of what we were back then. Like, in my family, we didn't talk. We didn't. If something bothered us, you get over it. That's it. You know, at least with my mom is, we did not talk. It was an emotion that we just didn't do. Communication was not a thing for us. And I took that with me, and it was probably the thing that I should have left behind. But, you know, we were just taught to, have feelings, but you don't need to talk about them. Just let it go.
Yeah, and my parents are divorced, so I didn't have, like, an example, right, of two people communicating together and how to work through certain things. But I think as we've gone through, again, our conversations that we have when we go to, you know, the restaurants and, you know, kind of talk through some of the things, I think we set some good ground rules too, right? So one is, we don't fight in front of the kids.
No.
And when I mean fight, I mean like yelling, screaming, arguing, which we never really do anyway.
That happens, yeah.
But it kind of did a little bit early, where we would, you know, I would say we, but
more me. I'm a yeller. You, yeah. I speak very loudly to get my point across, and I kind of probably did that a little bit more back then.
You're more verbal. I'm more nonverbal. Like, y'all call this one look that I give the face of disappointment. Mm-hmm. And that's when you and the kids know that, okay, dad's upset, dad's mad. But I think it's important to have a disagreement in front of the kids. So I think we're okay in that sense, because, again, like we mentioned, right, I want them to be able to learn from some of that experience. Like, two people can disagree,
yeah,
but they can also talk through it and resolve whatever conflict there is. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we do share what we're arguing about if we are arguing in front of them or disagreeing, just so that way they have a little bit of context and they know what it's about. But we always tell them, like, you don't get a say-so in what happens. I don't need you to tell me who's right or who's wrong.
Because I'm usually one that's right.
True. We'll just say that for the sake of another disagreement. But so that's one thing, is we try not to have, like, major arguments in front of the kids, because I don't want them to remember that growing up and that be something that they do in their relationship.
Yeah.
Another thing that we've, or two other things that I think were really important for us that we've talked about, is not trying to argue late at night. Like, again, there would be times I'd come home 7, 8, 9 o'clock, you know, at night. I got to wake up in a few hours and there would be some type of disagreement. And I was just so done with the day that I didn't have the energy to give you what you needed at the time. I didn't have the energy to communicate with you at the time. I just, like, you know what? You want to be mad, fine. I'm turning around, I'm going to sleep, and I'm just going to count my lucky stars that I'm still alive today, because there's probably countless times where you thought about doing something to me while I was sleeping.
I'm just going to say you're very lucky you're still alive.
I don't disagree with that.
No, I agree. Going to bed, you know, just let it go. It's not, we can always resolve it. Unless it's a huge thing that we feel that does need to be discussed at a later time, you know, past our bedtime. For the most part, there's no point in you losing sleep, me losing sleep. It can wait.
Yeah, because you think about it, I would much rather have the energy and the right mindset going into whatever disagreement or argument that we're having, so that way I can look at it from a clear, level-headed point of view versus just being so tired and just frustrated, I guess, right? If you're just too tired, you just kind of get grouchy.
Yeah, I mean, and at the end of the day, even after the end of the argument, we still know we love each other. So yeah, even if us still arguing, in the back of my mind, I know you still love me. I know that we're still going to end up still being married, when we're not going to leave each other, you know? So there's no point in having that linger, you know, and having, obviously you're still going to go to bed, maybe a little mad, maybe a little frustrated, but you know, we're going to be there in the morning and, or in the, you know, the next day, we're still going to be able to talk about it and get through that. Yeah, so I think that's a big deal.
We've done it a couple times where I'm like, look, I would love to have this conversation right now, but honestly, I'm so exhausted. I would much rather pick this up early in the morning, like whenever you wake up, which is probably like mid-afternoon.
I don't need you to be rude.
but I would much rather pick it up like the next day. Like you said, unless it's super urgent and really pressing, then yes, yeah, absolutely need to talk through that piece. But, you know, if it's something that can, you know, possibly wait, then I would recommend doing that.
You know, we've also done that too when we feel like it's going in circles. Let's put a pin on it. You think about it, I'll think about it, and we'll come back to it, you know?
And I think the last rule that we've talked about is, if we are disagreeing with something and it's a serious conversation, then we don't do that through text message.
No. Because then that just gets so complicated, and the way you read it can sound so different than the way you mean it, for sure.
So that those are I think were our top three things that we really try to value-wise. Like, we're not going to do this.
And then also try to talk in person, not over the phone, because I'm a visual person. I have to see your face. I need to see what kind of little eye rolling you're doing, or the face of disappointment, because everybody hates that face. But I feel like I need to see your face. That way I can know where this conversation is going to go. Are you done with this conversation? Are we going to continue this conversation? So I think talking face to face is very important as well.
Yeah, well, it's extremely important for you. You need my undivided attention. If you're talking about something serious and I need to make sure, and there's so many distractions now with cell phone, social media, you know, video games on your phone now.
And you're so easily distracted. It's unbelievable. So I need to know that you are listening to me and that what I say means value to you.
So now that we've kind of gone through a lot of, you know, these changes, and we made that shift, and we're meeting every, you know, year, having that one, you know, major conversation about, you know, what we want to grow and improve on. How do you feel now?
I feel safe. I feel like I have a partner. You know, I have a best friend. So, you know, I know that sounds cheesy and, you know, however you want to call it, but it is absolutely true. I can talk to you about so many things, and I know you're going to listen. I know you're not going to judge me. I mean, maybe you judge me a little bit, but, you know, I feel safe, and I can't explain that feeling that I have other than I feel safe.
Yeah. It gives me the feeling of being just less stressed all the time.
Yeah.
You know, being stressed at work sometimes, and then being stressed at in the home front, like, it's just, it's such an unhealthy balance. And so now that we're able to talk through things and communicate things, it makes me feel so good knowing that I can come home and be able to vent to you, and we talk through, you know, whatever my struggles were in the day, and just our overall demeanor, not demeanor.
I think we value each other and what we have to say and our feelings. We value each other.
We give each other time to express. You tell me about your day, how it was with the kids or things that you got going on. And then I tell you about mine. And it's just, it's just such a different dynamic.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
So I do want to, before we end the episode, I want to kind of explain what that looks like now. So I don't know if I told you yet, like, how it made me feel. But the other day we were in the kitchen, and I can't remember what we were disagreeing about.
I don't know, probably something dumb you said.
Probably. But I know I said something, and I made sure I turned my back so you didn't see the face of disappointment, but you already knew
I was given. I felt the disappointment face. I didn't have to see it. I felt it.
Yeah, and I think I was at a point where I was ready to just, again, shut down, shell off, because it's something that we work on. It, nothing's perfect, and I don't want to make it seem like this illusion of we're great communicators now and everything is, you know, because it's not. It's not perfect. But we do recognize, I think, a lot quicker when some of those things do come up.
This one was, I think I know where you're going at. This was immediately. We both realized where this was going, and we immediately wanted to try to work on that.
But I just remember turning around, feeling like I wanted to shut down. And right away, you said, hey, come here real quick. In a very, like, loving tone. And it made me feel really good knowing that it was coming from, like, a good place, and it wasn't like, oh, crap, here we go again, right? Here's an argument. And I guess, like, to steal your word, right, it made me feel safe knowing that you were inviting me into that conversation to express how I felt, right? And obviously, of course, if I don't attack you personally, then it would be a good conversation. So, but it was good. You know, I got a chance to tell you how I felt, you know, about that disagreement. And I don't know if you want to share a little bit of, you know, how you felt.
Yeah, I felt when that situation happened, it made me feel a certain type of way. You know, right now, because I'm in a process of grieving, you know, because, you know, my mom just died. And little things bother me, and I'm trying to, you know, have my feelings, like, I'm going to feel what I feel, and it is what it is. And, you know, I'm not going to apologize for being sad. I'm not going to apologize for being, you know, feeling a certain type of way. However, I can't always think I'm the only one going through a process, because you are too. Not the fact that you may be grieving over my mom, because, you know, obviously you are, but you're grieving because you see your wife grieving and you see your kids grieving. And I see how supportive you're being. And how much you're trying to say the right things and do the right things. And then sometimes, even though you try, they still come across it on my end, or maybe like the kids. And, you know, it still comes off something that probably could have been maybe fixed a little bit better. And, you know, I've been very vocal on, this is how you made me feel when you said this. This is how you made me feel when you said that. But I don't acknowledge the fact that you're trying, and that's tough for you, because seeing us go through this, I can't imagine. It's like a train wreck that you can't stop. So I needed to, when I said it, when I saw your face of disappointment, it wasn't like, oh, crap, you know.
Well, it's because it's to your point, right? It's something that I've been, you know, trying to take on more responsibility in the house. So it limits the things that you have to do.
Right.
Because I want you to be able to not have to worry about cleaning the kitchen or cleaning up the house and, you know, doing different things around the house. I want to take that load off. I mean, not that I didn't do it before, but I'm making even more of an effort now to do more of it so you can do a lot less.
Yeah.
Just to kind of help you process some of that stuff. And, you know, there was not to be cryptic, right, about the whole situation, but, it, you know, it was just something that I was doing, like the dishes, and I just didn't feel like it was being appreciated at the time.
Yeah.
And so, again, that's why, you know, when you tell me, hey, it made me feel this way, I'm like, it sucks to hear, but I go back and I'm like, okay, I reflect and let me see what I did do on my end. Why did I do it this way? And, okay, let's try to change that moving forward. And so I think that's what made me want to shut down a little bit is, like, I keep making all of these adjustments and I keep trying to, you know, do these things to limit, you know, any extra thought process that you may have to take on, you know, in the household. And it's like, man, there's another thing that I didn't do.
You know, and when I saw that face, my immediate thought wasn't, damn, you know, this is going to be an argument. It's like, no, I'm so quick to tell him, this is the way you made me feel. This is how I feel. I need to see how he feels. He looks like he's getting ready to shut down, and my heart sank, and that made me feel really sad because I don't want you to feel like that. I need you to feel safe. I need you to feel like I value you, and I do. I value how you feel. I value the things that you've been doing and being helpful. So that's why it's like, no, let's work on this. Let's both work on this, because clearly you are trying to be there as the supportive husband and the supportive dad and taking on these things. And yes, I am going through this. Yes, you know, it sucks, but you're going through some stuff too. And it is not easy. So I needed to take a step back and take care of you. You know, that was my thing.
And I did appreciate it. It felt so good telling you how I felt.
Yeah.
Not that I don't all the time, but it was in a much different context.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, when you do this, it makes me kind of feel this way. It makes me want to shut down a little bit. So,
and I appreciated you so much for doing that, because getting you to talk about your feelings is like pulling teeth. It's, I have to keep asking and asking and asking until finally you break down and finally tell me. But this time I didn't have to break down walls. You willingly told me, because I really tried just to listen and not the whole I wanted to listen to you.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're already at the end of today's episode. I mean, we could talk about communication
forever.
And when we go through the rest of, obviously, the episodes that we'll have, I mean, communication is going to be a huge part in every episode that we do.
Yeah.
But I do hope that somebody, you know, listened to this podcast and got something out of it. Maybe it's something that they experienced in their own relationship. Maybe something that they're going through right now themselves. Just self-reflection is going to be, I think, key. At least that was key for us, is just being able to reflect and
grow.
Yeah, and being able to share and write down, like, hey, here are some of the things that I want to work on. It. And it's not me telling you what you need to work on. It's me telling me, hey, here are some things that I've noticed. This is what I want to do to try to make sure that moving forward, I'm going to be able to execute it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. We greatly appreciate you guys. If you can share this podcast, we want to try to grow this community as much as possible. Please make sure you go on and subscribe. That way you can get the most updated episode. I hope you guys enjoyed. See you guys next time.